Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see, connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're joining us for day two of our lesson, Home Away From Home. We're learning about Pauline Lin's experiences with her family away from their comfort zone in Taipei, and they're living in the United States in Washington, D.C. Well, it's not easy to move for a lot of people. There are some challenges that come with that. So what are some challenges that you might face if you move to another country or to a new place? Carolyn, can you think of any challenges?
Well, if you move to another country, that means that you might have to adjust to a different kind of food. Many countries have their own special kinds of food that are very different, so it might take some adjusting, and it also might take some time to make new friends. That can be a big challenge that you face when you go somewhere new.
That's true. Well, one challenge that I faced when I went to the United States for college was that I had to get used to being seen as an American. People thought I was an American. They didn't realize that I did not grow up in America. They expected me to act like an American, but I didn't all the time. That was a challenge that I faced. Well, we're going to get started with the first reading of our lesson today.
Home Away From Home. Living here definitely will give us the opportunity to enjoy the beauty of all four seasons. There are colorful flowers in spring and sunshine in summer. In autumn are red, orange, and yellow leaves, and snow falls in winter. In mid-April, we went to the National Cherry Blossom Festival. This festival commemorates the gift of 3,020 cherry trees from Tokyo to Washington, D.C. in 1912. More than 1 million people attend every year.
Hello, friends. This is your Word Lady Ellen. We are on day two of our new Life in America series. Here are your key words for today. Definitely. Definitely is an adverb. I definitely like this new car better than my old one. Flock. Flock is a noun. Flocks of people went to the mall on the day of the big sale. Capture. Capture is a verb. Jean managed to capture her daughter's first steps on film. Keepsake. Keepsake is a noun. Carrie bought a necklace as a keepsake when she went to Paris. Your more information words are National Cherry Blossom Festival. National Cherry Blossom Festival is a noun. Commemorate. Commemorate is a verb. What are some things you think would be hard to get used to if you moved far away from home? Think about that as we finish our article.
Wow, lots of people go and attend this festival. Well, let's go to the very first sentence of our article. Pauline writes, living here definitely will give us the opportunity to enjoy the beauty of all four seasons. Well, that sounds like a great thing to do. If you're living in Washington, D.C., you get the chance to experience the beauty of every season.
That's right, and she says that it definitely will give them this opportunity. And if something is definite, then it is going to happen. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that can stop it. It is for sure. This word definitely we want to look at. It is definitely a word that you should know. How can you use this word, Gabe?
Well, I like what you just said. It's definitely something you should know. Carolyn also used another form of this word, an adjective. It's definite. D-E-F-I-N-I-T-E. But let's use it the way that it is here in the article. Definitely. My favorite show or my favorite band is coming to this city. I am definitely going to see them live in concert. How might you use that word, Carolyn?
Well, you know, I love this word definitely, and it's definitely a word that I like to use often.
Mm-hmm.
So it is definitely useful.
Well, let's continue because we definitely have more to learn here today. The next sentence says, there are colorful flowers in spring and sunshine in summer. So Pauline is talking about the beauty of all four seasons. Here are two seasons so far, colorful flowers in spring and sunshine in summer. What does she say about the next couple of seasons?
Well, she says in autumn are red, orange, and yellow leaves,
mm-hmm.
and snow falls in winter. So each season is quite different from the others. And we see this snow falls in winter, and I'd like to talk about that phrase there, mm-hmm. snow falls versus snow fall.
Okay.
If snow falls in winter, that means that the snow is falling. Here, fall is a verb.
Okay.
To fall. But if you have snowfall, that is the amount of snow that you have. So those two words are a little bit different. One is a phrase, snow falls, and the other is a compound word, snowfall.
That's right. So remember the difference. The first one is a verbal phrase, and the second one, or a verb phrase, the second one is just a noun, the snowfall. So have you ever seen snow when it falls? It is definitely beautiful. Carolyn, how do we continue our lesson?
Well, we have some pictures that we're going to take some time to look at right now.
Those are some nice pictures. While we continue learning from Pauline's experiences, she says in mid-April, we went to the National Cherry Blossom Festival. So in about mid-April of 2012, they went to the Cherry Blossom Festival. Cherry blossoms are very nice and beautiful flowers. And what can you tell us about this festival, Carolyn?
Well, Pauline continues to tell us in the article, this festival commemorates the gift of 3,020 cherry trees from Tokyo to Washington, D.C. in 1912. So Japan gave a gift of many, many cherry trees, over mm-hmm. 3,000 cherry trees to the United States, and they were planted in Washington, D.C. And this would have been 100 years ago mm-hmm. from the time that Pauline went in 2012.
The word commemorate means to remember something. So if there is something special that happened in history, today you can commemorate that event. So in our article, we're talking about something that happened in 1912. Well, we can commemorate that today.
That's right. And there are many other holidays that are used to commemorate things. We commemorate the birth of Jesus Christ on Christmas. Christmas is a holiday that commemorates Jesus's birth.
And many holidays will commemorate some kind of event. If you think about Thanksgiving, that commemorates when people went to America and started living there, and some of the people already there helped them know how to live there. So Thanksgiving commemorates this. Well, we have more to learn. Our last sentence here is more than 1 million people attend every year. So we're talking about the National Cherry Blossom Festival. More than 1 million people attend every year. That means they participate or they go and watch this event every year.
That's right. Well, it is a very popular event if more than 1 million people go to view the cherry blossoms. Is there something like this where you live? Do many, many people come from all over to see flowers bloom? It's a very popular event in many parts of the world. Well, now it's time to go join Michelle in the language lab.
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle. 首先我们看的是 definitely 这个副词。Definitely 是指肯定的或当然。例如 This restaurant is definitely the best in town. 这家餐厅绝对是这里最棒的餐厅。或者是 Are you staying to watch the game? 你会留下来观赛吗？ Definitely, 那当然。它的形容词就是把字尾的 ly 去掉变成 definite, 意思是指明确的或肯定的。例如 a definite conclusion 是指一个肯定的结论。好，继续我们来看的是 commemorate 这个动词 ,memor 这个字根有记忆的意思。所以 commemorate 是指庆祝或纪念。例如 ,the festival was held to commemorate the birth of this artist. 这个庆典是为了庆祝这位艺术家的诞生。它的名词是 commemoration, 意思是指纪念或纪念仪式。例如 ,thousands participated in the commemoration of the battle. 数千人参加了这场战争的纪念仪式。
Well, today we have been learning some more from Pauline and her experiences in Washington, D.C. It sounds like she is having a wonderful time and definitely has the opportunity to enjoy many different types of seasons, all four seasons in Washington, D.C. She and her family were also able to enjoy watching the cherry blossoms bloom in this great city.Well, we have some more to learn in the next part of our article. Let's read that now.
Home away from home. We went on a Friday and joined the flocks of people already there. They walked around the tidal basin. They sat on the grass and took photos of the beautiful pink and white blossoms.We were able to capture the Washington Monument in the background with the cherry trees in bloom. Of course, we bought some magnets, mugs, and t-shirts as keepsakes. We are very fortunate to have plenty of time to appreciate this place. It's our home away from home for the next 3 years.
All right, well, let's take a look at that first sentence of this section. Pauline writes, We went on a Friday and joined the flocks of people already there. So she's talking about her family going to join the National Cherry Blossom Festival in Washington, D.C. But she uses a word here that I usually only use when I'm talking about animals like sheep or those kinds of animals. The word is flock.Carolyn, what does this word mean?
Well, here it just means a large group. So if there are flocks of people at this festival, it means that there are many, many people at this festival. A very large group.
Okay, so a large group of people, many people. Of course, usually you would see this word when talking about sheep or animals like that. Goats, flocks of sheep, flocks of goats. Also, birds in the sky.Flocks of birds. Well, we're going to continue. We're learning about Pauline and her family, and we're seeing that they walked around the tidal basin. The people, the flocks of people, walked around the tidal basin. And how do we continue, Carolyn?
Well, we see they sat on the grass and took photos of the beautiful pink and white blossoms.So cherry blossoms here are pink and white, and they are very beautiful. We also see we were able to capture the Washington Monument in the background with the cherry trees in bloom. This sounds like a very beautiful picture.
That's right. And picture, well, maybe they did take some pictures with their cameras. They were able to capture the sight of this. Let's take a look at that key word. It is capture.And when you capture something, that means you catch sight of it. Here in this article, that's what it means. It can also mean to catch something, like maybe you, are looking for butterflies and you can capture some butterflies and take them home. You catch them. But here it's talking about catching a sight of something. How else might you use that word, Carolyn?
Well, in the article, it is used in reference to a photo or video. If you capture something with your camera, it means that you take a picture of it or you videotape it. You record it with your camera. So here, they have captured the Washington Monument in the background of these beautiful cherry trees that are blooming.
That's right. Well, if you have a camera, what kinds of things can you capture? Maybe you can capture a beautiful sunset. Or if your camera's really good, you can capture some shooting stars in the sky at night. And I think that Pauline has captured some wonderful photos, as we have seen them in some slideshows. Well, we continue with the lesson. Of course, we bought some magnets, mugs, and t-shirts as keepsakes. They bought these things as keepsakes. That's another word we want to talk about. And a keepsake is something that you have that helps you remember a time in your life, a keepsake.
That's right. It is something you keep from a certain place that you go, sort of like a souvenir. They are very similar words. So this keepsake, they bought several different kinds. Magnets, mugs, and t-shirts can all be keepsakes because they remind you of something you did in the past.
That's right. And you don't have to buy keepsakes. Of course, most souvenirs you have to buy. But maybe you found something in nature and it reminds you of your time. That can also be a keepsake. Well, the last sentence here is, or the last couple of sentences, Pauline says, we are very fortunate to have plenty of time to appreciate this place. It's true, if you're in a wonderful place, you don't just want to be there for a short time. You want to have time to appreciate it.
That's right. So when you go somewhere, it is important to appreciate where you are at the time. And Pauline and her family seem to really be enjoying their time in Washington, D.C. She says, it's our home away from home for the next 3 years. So they will be in Washington, D.C. for several years, and it is their home away from home. This is a very interesting phrase. Gabe, can you explain it a little bit?
Well, yes, the title of our lesson, Home Away from Home. And this just means that you have found a way to be comfortable where you are living now, even though it's not your original home. So, where are you living? Are you living in your home country? If not, have you found a place that is your home away from home? I hope so, because it's good to be comfortable wherever you are.
That's right. So for me, Taipei would be my home away from home, since this is not where I'm originally from.
That's right. Well, friends, it's time for us to continue learning something with Steve and Ken. I think the information cloud is their home away from home. And then we'll enjoy a review skit, followed by Michelle in the language lab.
Hi, friends. What do you call the place you live in? Is it a house or a home?
Well, we all live in houses, but we don't all live in a home, which is a place one is attached to emotionally.
Right. You might be moving into your new house, but it may not feel like home until after you've lived in it a few years.
When Christmas comes around, many people go home for Christmas. They go back to where their family is.
Our article today is titled Home Away from Home. This is a common expression that refers to a place where you feel as comfortable as you do in your own home. A comfortable hotel that you stay at can be your home away from home.
When I have guests over, I always say to them, make yourselves at home. In other words, feel free to act just as you would in your own home, even if that means putting your feet up on the coffee table or helping yourself to whatever is in the refrigerator.
I'll remember that next time I go to your home. House 跟 home 这两个字虽然可以当同义词表示家或住所，但给人的感觉完全不同。House 只是一个冷冰冰的房子，但 home 听起来就温馨多了。搬进了 new house 大概要住上几年才会感觉那是一个 home。接待客人时，主人往往会说 make yourself at home， 把这里当作你家，意思就是不要感到拘束。在外地读书的学子，每逢圣诞节就会Go home for Christmas, 回家过圣诞。今天这一课讲到这家人搬到华府，把这个暂时落脚的地方看为 home away from home, 远离家园的家园。这就是今天的 Info Cloud, 我们下次云端见。
Hey, look! My friend wrote a blog!
Lots of people write blogs. What's it about?
She's really having a big adventure.
What kind of adventure?
She moved with her family from Taipei to America.
Oh, that's an adventure. That will take some adjustments.
Yeah, that's exactly what she says.
So what else does she say?
Well, she says her family is enjoying the beauty of all four seasons.
Oh, four seasons are nice.
Yeah, she says there are flowers in the spring, sunshine in the summer, colorful leaves in autumn, and snow in winter.
Oh, that is nice. Anything else?
Oh, they went to the Cherry Blossom Festival along with a million other people.
What did they do there?
Well, they sat on the green and took lots of photos.
Photos of what?
Everything. Pink and white cherry blossoms and, oh, the Washington Monument?
Did they get souvenirs?
Yes. They bought magnets, mugs, t-shirts, all those keepsakes.
Oh, it sounds like your friend is really enjoying her time in the States.
Yeah, she says it's her home away from home.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
What's wrong? Does this blog make you miss your friend?
No. It makes me miss adventure. I want to travel abroad. I'm so jealous.
好，接下来我们看的是 flock 这个名词。flock 是指一群一群，例如 flocks of fans gathered at the entrance of the stadium， 成群的粉丝聚集在运动场的入口。flock 也指鸟或者是羊的一群一群。例如 ，you can find flocks of sheep in this beautiful green pasture， 你可以在这片美丽青翠的草原上看到一群一群的羊。接我们看的是 keepsake 这个名词。keepsake 是指纪念品。例如 ，I bought a miniature Eiffel Tower as a keepsake。我买了迷你的埃菲尔铁塔当作纪念品。或者是 ，Molly gave me a picture of her as a keepsake before she left。Molly 离开之前给了我一张她的照片当作纪念品。And I'll keep listening as our lesson continues.
Well, we've learned all about Pauline and her family's experience in their home away from home at Washington, D.C. Now, I do wonder if you would be able to move to another country if you had to. How would you feel about this, Carolyn?
Well, I have already moved to a place outside of the U.S., and it's been very interesting, and I did it because I wanted to. Now, if someone told me that I needed to transfer because of my job, I might have to consider, oh, well, where am I going? Is it a place that I'm interested in living? Is it a safe place to go? Those are some things that I would have to ask before I said yes, but I do love to travel, so I would probably go.
Yeah, well, I think I would too, at least for a little while. I'd get a taste of the culture and see if I really liked it there. Well, friends, thank you for joining us for this lesson, Home Away from Home. And we hope to see you next time right here at Studio Classroom. Goodbye.
See you.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain.
The bags of money were soon on the cart, covered with some old pieces of cloth, and Tom started pulling the hand cart behind him. When the boys reached the Welshman's fence, they stopped to rest.They were just going to move on towards the wood store when Mr. Jones, the Welshman, came out of his house.
Hello,
he said.
Who's that?
Huck and Tom Sawyer.
Good. Come along with me, boys. Everybody's waiting.
And he took the hand cart and led them to Widow Douglas's house. He left the hand cart at the door and pushed Huck and Tom into the widow's sitting room.Everybody important was there, the Thatchers, the Harpers, the Rogerses, Aunt Polly with Sid and Mary, the minister, and a number of others, all wearing their best clothes. The widow received the two boys very kindly. It didn't seem to matter to her that they were covered with dirt from the cave and candle drippings. But Aunt Polly's face was very red as she looked at Tom's clothes.
"Come with me,"
the widow said, and she led the boys to a bedroom and said,
"Now wash and dress yourselves. Here are two new suits of clothes, shirts, everything. They're Huck's. No, don't thank me, Huck. Mr. Jones bought one and I bought the other. But they'll fit both of you. Get into them. We'll wait. Come down when you're ready."
Then she left the room. Huck said,
"Tom, we can get away if we can find a rope. The window isn't very high up."
"Why do you want to get away?"
"I can't go into a crowd like that, Tom. I'm not going down there."
"I'll take care of you,"
said Tom, who had seen all sorts of cakes and ice cream in the sitting room. Sid appeared.
"What's all this party about, Sid?"
Tom asked.
"It's one of the widow's parties that she often has. This time it's for the Welshman and his sons, because they saved her from trouble that night."
"Well, there's not much harm in that,"
said Tom, and he led the way down. Huck followed, very unwillingly. After supper, Mr. Jones stood up. He thanked Mrs. Douglas for the honor she had done him and his sons.
"But there's another person here who did more that night to prevent a terrible crime,"
the Welshman said. And he told the part that Huckleberry Finn had played that night. The widow spoke, too, about Huck's brave actions. Huck almost forgot the great discomfort of his new clothes in the greater discomfort of being stared at and thanked by everybody.